Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Chris Bell Podcast. This is episode number 462, and had been away from you for a little bit. I actually drove to the Midwest to do a funeral for a dear friend of mine, and spent some time with some friends and the family that I choose out there, and now I am back in RVA and have some podcasts to catch up on, so you will be seeing that. But we are diving into episode number 462, which I am calling Finding Your Shouldness, or The Divine is in the Details. Finding Your Shouldness, or The Divine is in the Details. Have you ever tried to make a new recipe? Maybe you brought home an idea for a new, like for me, I love curry dishes, so I bring home some idea of way to do, like curry peanut I tried a new way to do here the other night. And you have a recipe for it, and you follow that recipe. Why do you follow the recipe? Because you haven't made it before, and you want to make sure you get it right. And then say that you end up liking it. And you start to make it again and again, and it becomes part of a rotation. I don't know about you, but I have a rotation of a menu that I like to have more frequently than others. And it becomes part of that. And pretty soon the recipe goes away, doesn't it? And you find a way, you know what, I can substitute this for that. And I like this curry paste as opposed to that powder. And I like this as opposed to that. Whatever it is, you start to make it your own. And if it's something that you really care about, say you really take your cooking seriously, if anybody else wants to then make that dish, you give them a recipe and you write down in detail how they are to make that dish. Why do you do that? Because you care and you want it to turn out just right. You want it to taste just like it's supposed to. And the way that you do that is by ensuring the small details come out right so that the dish comes out right. And if you care about it, you make sure of that. If somebody tries to make your dish and they don't do it, like, no, that's not right. It's got to go like this, okay? Why does that happen? Because when you care about something, when you create, when you bring yourself to the world and invest yourself into creating something that you care about, those details matter. Now, let me pause right here and say I am not talking about the dark side of this equation, about a bullying, controlling sense of micromanagement that must be on top of everything. No. Caring about the details, there's a fine line here between caring about details and having a sick need or a psychotic need to micromanage everything. I am not diving into the dark side. We'll stay out of that deep end of the pool. What I'm talking about is the sense of shouldness that accompanies a passion. And here's what I mean. This should taste like that. A library should work like this. A municipal government should work like this. A motorcycle club should be run like this. A community of faith should operate like this. When you care about something, when something strikes at your passion, one of the ways that you know that this is one of your things, that this is a way that you are plugging into the infinite, that you are contributing to the universe, that you have a way to partner with the divine in making this world a better place, is that you have a sense of shouldness that just doesn't stop. Now, there's a lot of things I really don't care about the details on. I am not a detail guy for stuff that I don't care about, and being bogged down with details is not something I really like. As a matter of fact, I kind of go the other way. So when I find myself paying attention to and caring about the details, I back up and I find myself asking why. What about this trips my sense of should? Now, a couple of things. First, if you find yourself feeling that this should be like that, pay attention. That is the life in you reaching out to the life that's around you saying, this could be better. This should be like this. That doesn't happen to everybody on everything. That's a gift. That is a bright spot. That is a passion. That is a spike. That is an energy jolt. That's where the juice of where you know you're going to plug in comes from. And when you find that sense of should, coming from a good place, remember, we're only talking about that right now. When you find that sense of shouldness, this is how it should be. It changes your focus and you become about the distinctives. You become about the details, okay? By the way, for those of you who have ever read the Bible, I know a lot of people are just, you know, they think they're bogged down on this is an old book full of all kinds of stuff. But this is a book of wisdom that's been passed down from generation to generation. And yes, it was set in certain time frames. And so yes, it's culturally bound to those time frames. And a lot of the forms that the spirit of that book takes seem barbaric. But that's because the times were more barbaric. You have to look at the spirit that inhabits the form, not the form, as Rob Bell would say. But that book is filled with large sections of incredible detail. There's the Genesis poem. There's the entire book of Leviticus, which, you know, a lot of people would rather die than read. There's all the genealogies. There's everything else. Whenever you get to a spot of incredible detail in a book like that, ask yourself, why? Why is it there? Why is that sense of shouldness making this author dive down, or these authors dive down into this level of distinctive, this level of detail? For example, the book of Leviticus, first five books of the Hebrew Bible, Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Let me try that again. Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I can't talk. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. There we go. That's better. In that, the main emphasis, the origin point, if you will, for that story is Exodus, a slave nation coming out of slavery and finding freedom. Genesis then becomes the prequel, and the rest of it then is the reaction to Exodus, if you will. It's an oversimplification, but it's the point. And so you have Exodus, a group of slaves who leave their slave holders and become a new nation. The next book is Leviticus. Now, you imagine taking an entire population of slaves and letting them trying to create a new nation. That's going to be chaos. They're used to being told when to get up and when to go to sleep and what to... They've had no government that they had a part of. They've had no freedom that they've had a part of. And so Leviticus is in large sense a, hey, former slaves, this is a sense of shouldness. This is what it means to have a common life together where we get to choose and we get to form and we get to set distinctives of what life is supposed to be. And those details therefore become important to a liberated slave population who are setting up what it means to be their own people. And suddenly, it all makes sense. Okay? And so when you find a sense of shouldness, whether in ancient writings or in your own life, this attention to detail, it draws your heart, it draws your life, and it draws your energy into the act of creating because you care about those things. I have a sense of shouldness about some matters of spirituality. I have a sense of shouldness about how a motorcycle club should run. I have a sense of shouldness about some tactical training issues. Those things drive me, and the details of those things and how I run a business and how I run a club and how I do other things, those details create and ignite and fuel that passion that's within me. Because passions are defined, they're bordered by distinctives. And so if I sit around a table with decision makers talking about one of these areas that I care about, and there's something that comes up that is against the direction, the grain of how I feel something I founded should go, I am going to speak up. And I'm probably going to speak up with passion, nicely, lovingly, but with passion about some details that other people just don't see or just don't care about. That is what good leadership comes from when it's done right, and that is what creativity is fueled by, the passion for those distinctives. The difficulty is that most of our life anymore is adrift in a sea of mediocrity. Because it's good enough, and that's here, and I'm focused on the here and the now, or not focused on the here and the now as people on their phones walk into street sign poles and things like that. but we are adrift in a sea of just, eh. You take a look at grocery shopping. Most of the food that you go to buy in a grocery store is just, eh. You know, it's food-like, and it'll sit on that shelf for the next 9 years or whatever, as opposed to, I care about the ingredients of this, and I care about this dish that I am preparing, and distinctives and details and passion and this overwhelming sense of shouldness is what fights mediocrity, and it's what fight tyranny, and it brings liberty, and it brings creation, and it brings joy, and it brings a lot of the stuff that makes the goodness in life pop, is when you have this sense of shouldness and you bring the distinctives and the care and the attention about that detail. That's what matters to you. Now, I'm not talking about attention to detail in every single area. That could be a disorder. That could be some issues that you need to get over. There's all kinds of stuff. And again, just to be clear, I'm not talking about a pathological desire to control the details in everybody's life about everything. But when you have a sense of shouldness, that makes you pay attention to those things. It's the reason nobody likes red tape, unless you're the designer of the red tape because that process or that system is your should, and more on that in a bit. It's the reason that a boardroom can get bogged down. It's the reason that discussions around a table can seem so problematic. It's the reason you can have problems and maybe even buck headquarters a little bit, because when those kind of systems are done incorrectly, it can beat the passion and the distinctives right out of you, and it can make you feel like a cog in a just mediocre machine that's not going anywhere. Never surrender your sense of shouldness. Now, you may have to, for the sake of right now, put it on a shelf for a little bit. Yes, you have a job to do. Yes, you have bills to pay. Don't do that for years. Do that for a season, but don't do it for years. And don't let the people who don't create and just sit back and criticize, who just criticize, beat you down, knock the shouldness out of you. See, here's the thing about criticism. Most people are overly told that you should just take criticism. Baloney. Take criticism based on the intent of the criticizer. And here's what I mean. If someone loves you and honestly has your best intentions, life, heart, and joy at their center, listen to what they have to say. But if somebody is just working out their shit on you, if somebody is just working out all the stuff that they have on you, why give that a second's ear? Don't pay attention to that. They are criticizing for the sake of criticizing, or they're working out their own stuff, or they have an anger issue about something you're doing, or they want to create and don't have the sense of direction, can't figure out how to start, whatever it is. Listen to criticism from people who love you, who care about you, you trust. If you don't trust their intention, don't listen to the criticism. Boom. I love that. And that's hard to do sometimes, but you have to do that. Because those criticizers will knock the shouldness right out of you, okay? Now, having said that, you do have to balance your creation and your passion with some sense of shared ownership. You have to bring other people around, and they get to do that. This is why we don't have, if you don't, you create situations where you have megalomaniacs trying to run, like, large things. You get it. Anyway, and you create moments when you have a sense of shouldness that's driving you, and this vision, this passion, this joy drives you, where it creates some awkward moments. You take a look at Jesus, okay, one of my heroes. He has a sense of shouldness driving him such an extent that one of his best friends, his inner circle, Peter, he looks at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." In other words, right now you're acting so much in the spirit of not what I'm doing. We call it the spirit of Antichrist. Get behind me. Get away from me. You don't even get this anymore. Have you? In other places, he looks at him and goes, "Are you still so dull?" It's kind of funny. But so we have this time where we are driven and we are or energized by the sense of shouldness that the people around us may not get it, and that's okay. That's all right. We work with people as best we can. One of my mentors early on used to say, move with your movers. Get with the people who get it and go, okay? Because you have to understand, you can never let go of the concept that there is a place where it can be like it should be. There is a place where it could be, like it should be, and you are invited into the participation of creating that, driven by your sense of shouldness, okay? Let it change, let it grow, let it evolve, let it have shared ownership, bring people along on this journey, but your sense of shouldness and your attention to those details that you care about are going to form the passion, the direction, the joy that helps you create newness, that creates good things, that's the hope that says this is not how it's going to stop. This is not the last word. It will get better, and I have a part to play in this small corner of making it get better. In other words, your sense of shouldness gives you power. Your sense of shouldness empowers you to be a universe changer when done well. And that's huge. That's huge. That, in fact, is the antidote to despair and depression. The fact that I have a hand in changing this, and my sense of should can be worked out, and I have a spot to play in the recreation of all things. Because, my friends, the divine is in the details for the things that you care about. Finding your sense of shouldness. Go do that with grace and peace.